The classic work by Upton Sinclair, The Jungle, is an articulation of what this entire process is about. And the protagonist of that remarkable novel, Jurgis Rutkus, is a Lithuanian immigrant who actually witnesses and experiences the slaughterhouse. And his description of the slaughterhouse and its reality is linked to an understanding and an analysis. First of all, I want to make clear that when he speaks about the condition that is afflicting the creatures, he also describes the dehumanization and the brutalization of the workers in that process. He reflects that the most matter-of-fact person could not help thinking of the hogs as innocent. They came so trustingly. They were so very human in their protests, so perfectly within their rights. And he describes the slaughtering machine that runs on and on like some horrible crime committed in a dungeon, all unseen, all unheeded, buried out of sight and out of memory. He describes the splitters and the cleavermen cutting up the chilled carcasses to produce hams and forequarters and sides of pork. He describes the shackling and the hanging upside down and the shrieking and the squeals and the grunts and the wails of agony. He describes the slitting of the throats with the swift stroke that drains their lifeblood, the scalding from the vat that takes off the skin, off the head, the entrails, the carcass. He talks about the splitters and the cleavermen cutting up chilled carcasses. And he, above all, attempts to alert us and to arouse us to the whole process and the meaning of it in our lives. In fact, he describes this process as a metaphor. He says the diseased rotten meat is a metaphor for the diseased rotten capitalist system. He says the meat industry is the incarnation of blind and insensate greed, a monster devouring with a thousand mouths, the great butcher, the spirit of capitalism made flesh. And he says in this novel that it was this which led him to embrace socialism, and it was this which allowed him to understand that there is a joyful vision of people of Packington marching in and taking possession of these union stockyards and destroying them.
A vision of hell, the unspeakable torment of other species. Our Taking Aim Premium for this WBAI fund drive. And we selected this because of an important reason, and that is the issue of consciousness. Too often people make excuses for their eating habits, for wearing leather, for the domination, exploitation, and destruction of other species. We are always making excuses. We are always finding reasons for not understanding. And as you do that, you take away part of your own humanity. A vision of hell, the unspeakable torment of other species, is your political act today for the sustenance of our the human species itself, for the sustenance of other species, the ecosystem, and for your own consciousness. 212-209-2950. I want to get on with the excerpts from the second CD, because in it we discuss something that people again put out of mind. You know, every day you eat a hamburger or you slice a fish or
carve up a chicken
or a turkey. You have some slight connection to what you are doing. You have to blot it out of your mind, but you still have a physical reality. But with animal experimentation, that is done completely behind closed doors. So when you put on some skin lotion, when you shampoo your hair, when you take medication, what has been done to animals in the process of bringing these products to you is never discussed. 212-209-2950, A Vision of Hell, the Unspeakable Torment of Other Species, and now we go on to the an excerpt from the second CD of this important 2-CD program.
From Tel Aviv to Texas, dogs and other animals are being poisoned and otherwise tortured in chemical, biological, and conventional warfare experiments. Each year, at least 320,000 primates, dogs, pigs, goats, sheep, rabbits, cats, and other animals are hurt and killed, tortured by the U.S. Department of Defense in experiments that rank among the most painful conducted in this country. These animals are among the 70 million per year who die in the United States from animal experimentation. And the testing for toxicity for which there is no scientific evidence. Today on Taking Aim, A Vision of Hell, The Unspeakable Torment of Other Species, Part 2.
The U.S. military inflicts the pain on millions of animals each year in experiments. The Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration together are the federal government's second largest user of animals after the National Institutes of Health. They account for nearly half the estimated minimum of 1.6 million dogs, cats, guinea pigs, hamsters, rabbits, primates, rats, mice, and, quote, wild animals, unquote, as reported to Congress 20 years ago. But these figures do not include experiments contracted out to non-governmental laboratories on sheep, goats, pigs, primates, shot and wound experiments, the actual total number of animal victims vastly higher in the multi-millions. Indeed, this is so prevalent and with such extraordinary cruelty that the military testing has been consistently classified top secret, and it is difficult to get information except through the revelations of whistleblowers and through Freedom of Information Act discernment. From published research, it has been established that armed forces facilities all over the United States test weaponry in animals, including biological and chemical warfare agents and nuclear blasts.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals did a survey and came up with some of these examples. In 1988, at Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, sheep were placed in loose net sling against a reflecting plate, and an explosive device was detonated 19 meters away. In two of the experiments, 48 sheep were blasted, the first group to test the value of a vest worn during the blast, and the second to see if chemical markers would aid in the diagnosis of blast injury. At the Armed Forces Radiobiology Research Institute in Maryland, rhesus monkeys were strapped in chairs and exposed to total body irradiation. Within 2 hours, six of the nine rhesus monkeys were vomiting, hypersalivating, and chewing, as if the armed forces didn't understand that total body irradiation would cause this effect beforehand.
This is a pattern that's been going on now for 50 years. In 1946, near the Bikini Atoll in the South Pacific, thousands of sheep, goats, and other animals were loaded onto a boat, set adrift, and severely burned by atomic blasts detonated above them. The military nicknamed the experiment the Atomic Ark. At Fort Sam Houston, live animals were immersed in boiling water for 10 seconds, and groups of them were then infected on parts of their burned bodies. In 1987, at the Naval Medical Institute in Maryland, the backs of animals were shaved, covered with ethanol, and then flamed. 1988, at Kirkland Air Force Base, sheep placed in net slings against a reflecting plate, explosive devices detonated meters away.
To evaluate the effect of temperature on the transmission of the Dengue 2 virus, a mosquito-transmitted disease that causes fever, muscle pain, rash, experiments were conducted at the infamous U.S. Army facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the U.S. AMRID. This involved shaving the stomachs of adult rhesus monkeys and then attaching cartons of mosquitoes to their bodies so that the mosquitoes could feed openly. The experimenters at Fort Detrick also invented a rabbit restraining device that consisted of a small cage pinning the rabbits down with steel rods so that the mosquitoes could also feast on their bodies.
The Department of Defense operates what are called wound labs. At these sites, which have been in existence since 1957, conscious animals are suspended from slings and shot with high-powered weapons to inflict injuries for military surgical practice. In response to some pressure, Congress limited the use of dogs, a restriction almost entirely ignored. But nonetheless, countless goats and pigs and sheep and primates are shot, and cats are included as well. It's at Fort Sam Houston, goats are hung upside down and shot in their hind legs, and physicians practice excising the wounds. No anesthesia involved. Any goat who survives is killed. The military experiments that subject animals to decompression sickness, weightlessness, drugs, alcohol, smoke inhalation, and pure oxygen inhalation are legion.
Let's look at the chapter Tools for Research in Peter Singer's innovative and revolutionary book, Animal Liberation. Speaking of dogs, at the Lovelace Foundation, Albuquerque, New Mexico, experimenters had used 64 beagles to inhale radioactive strontium-90 that was part of the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission's study in 1961, Fission Product Inhalation Program. In one particular experiment, the deaths occurred with epileptic seizure and brain hemorrhage. Brain hemorrhage, epileptic seizure from high doses of strontium-90, when in fact the government already knew that strontium-90, a highly radioactive substance, would cause death. 50 beagles were also put in wooden boxes at the Rochester School of Medicine, University of Rochester, and then they were irradiated by these X-rays. When 50% of the animals die, with 95% confidence, the experimenters conclude that they've reached a toxicity level. In the process, 700 beagles and other dogs were irradiated with X-rays so that their injuries produced in these experiments were so-called typical of those described for the dog. Ralph.
The investigative researcher, medical researcher Michael Budke, who is one of the leaders and a director of the nonprofit group Stop Animal Exploitation Now, established that the U.S. military kills on its own records 5 primates a day. It's a sad statistic, and it is particularly sadistic in the way that it is implemented. The use of primates in research is on the rise. The military experimented on nearly 2,000 primates a year by 1999, and the figure goes up annually. These are done without pain medication. The Department of Defense labs more than double the amount of animals that are used in painful experiments without anesthesia. Butke continues that other research labs undertake horrifying experiments involving the subjection of animals to chemical weapons, ionizing radiation, lasers, high-power microwaves, and biological weapons. There is no oversight of this military animal research. The labs that are inspected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture officials rarely implement any recommendations. The Department of Defense has been able to subject primates and hundreds of thousands of other animals to painful experiments behind closed doors. The painful experimentation is so horrific that even the researchers and the lab technicians have been subject to chronic psychological breakdown because of the sustained cruelty on a continued basis that they are obligated to inflict.
Speaking of psychological breakdown, Ralph, an article March 17, 2000, appeared in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. and it reported experiments that were carried out by the Israeli Defense Forces on animals. And these experiments were so horrific that the soldiers were forced, that the soldiers who were forced to conduct the experiments had to seek psychological counseling. I know you found more information about that, and I'd like to hear it.
Well, the Israeli army, according to the Haaretz expose, has been systematically blowing up unanesthetized pigs with Scud missile explosives and conducting experiments on dogs, monkeys, doves, mice, toads, and guinea pigs so cruel, involving live mutilation, that the soldiers, as you indicate, monitoring the tests, required psychological help, and many of the doctors refused to participate in this these experiments and in these tests. In its lengthy article in March 17, 2000, Haaretz reported that the horrific experiments are carried out on a systematic basis. Soldiers describing experiments on pigs performed to examine the effect on living beings of powerful explosives that were inflicted on bound-up pigs, and the soldier in question told Haaretz, "I still have nightmares about what I was obligated to do. We were a distance from the blast sites, but the horrible screeching was unimaginable. We had to turn our heads away. Pigs were lying, crying and squealing. The blast waves had blown them up internally. The glass that flew in all directions had lacerated them. The walls were covered with their blood, urine, and feces. They looked at us with wide, beseeching eyes, overwhelmed with pain, filled with horror. The stench was overpowering." And it continues, "With respect not only to pigs, but to dogs and to cats and to goats and to sheep and to primates. The Israeli army conducts cruel experiments on animals," Haaretz describes, "including elaborated experiments on dogs. Several doctors refused to perform the operations, not only because they were cruel, but because they served no purpose and were considered by the doctors to be wholly unnecessary." The article is elaborate in setting forth a continued practice that is not particular to Israel, but Israel has a very specific record with regard to sustained torment and torture of animals under the guise of experiments.
An important article appeared on the Internet, Military Animal Research by Michael A. Budke, and he is a member of the Medical Research Modernization Committee. And their Internet site is mrmcmed.org. He reports that the experiments funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, which take place at 34 DOD labs worldwide, with four outside the U.S., so they are really outside any scrutiny, most of the experimentation is done by the U.S. Army, 80% of it. The experiments funded by the DOD, according to Michael Budke, are typically more invasive than projects funded by other sources, meaning that the universities, which do a lot of experimentation and contracting from the DOD, will subject animals to chemical weapons, ionizing radiation, lasers, high-power microwaves, as Ralph said, and biological weapons. But what the Army itself does is experiments without any anesthesia. There is absolutely no monitoring. So if we look at some of these, such as the experiments on primate colonies, what they found is that the primates often have no body fat, which is a sign that the animals have endured serious illnesses, long-term debilitating conditions, and when they die and they do autopsies for the animals, they find parasites, gastric bloat, pneumonia, chronic wasting conditions. The life stories of these primates is horrendous. They are subjected to amputation of fingers. They are of their other limbs. They are tortured day in and day out.
Amplifying this account was the particular study by Tara Shugru called Cruelty and Medical Experimentation. She cites over 70 million animals who die in research laboratories every year. 70 million animals dying under conditions of torture each year. Animals used in research range from kittens injected with massive doses of LSD to dogs' trachea being ignited, the decapitation of pig fetuses while still in the womb. Many studies done nominally with the objective of finding cures for cancer and AIDS, not a single test, not a single result has been reported to have any application or effect. And one of the fundamental reasons for this, which we'll amplify shortly in this program, is that these studies done on cancer and AIDS used animals who cannot be linked to human conditions. And as Tara Shugru points out, there is great danger in applying experimental results from animals testing to the treatment of human beings. Their brains work differently. It is almost impossible to find a correct correlation between the two in dealing with causes and treatment, specifically with respect to cancer. Artificially induced cancers in animals are not similar to spontaneous tumors that arise in humans. Dr. Irwin Bross, director of biostatistics at the Roswell Park Memorial Institute, found that animal tests have never produced a single advance in either the prevention or treatment of human cancer.
You've been listening to A Vision of Hell, the Unspeakable Torment of Other Species. This is an excerpt from the second CD of a 2-CD set. It's our gift to you for your $100 contribution to WBAI. This is Maya Schoen and
Ralph Schoenman.
And Taking Aim, and we know you are Taking Aim listeners. Each week you tune in loyally, and we are here today to offer you an exceptional program that you'll want to listen to over and over again and share with your family and friends. A Vision of Hell, the Unspeakable Torment of Other Species. 212-209-2950. I'll remind you again, 212-209-2950. At this moment, I'd like to thank Mark Bilk and Pamela Summers, who would so graciously have maintained the Taking Aim website over the past 3 years. As you know, we maintain an archive of our programs, and if it weren't for these two devoted listeners and wonderful friends and colleagues, the Taking Aim website wouldn't be there. That's www.takingaim.info. We also want to thank our engineers at WBAI, Kathy Davis, the Public Affairs Director, and Spider, who each week helps us with the broadcasting of our program, bringing it, taking it down, and Michael G. Haskins, our announcer, every week, each and every week, coming to you for Taking Aim. And in the KPFA studios, as you know, we broadcast from California. Michael Yoshida, the chief engineer, helps with the ISDN linkage. So most of all, we want to thank each and every one of you, our Taking Aim listeners, and those of you who don't normally but somehow managed to find us today and are impressed and want to continue listening. We're on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Next week, however, will be preempted for the important Martin Luther King special. We hope you tune in for that, and we'll be back the week after. Right now, 212-209-2950. Ralph?
When we think about the language and how it's used to sustain a ruling ideology, what is the language that we deploy to those we want to victimize? In Vietnam, we called them gooks and slants. In Iraq, we called them haji. And when we want to demonize those amongst us, we speak about what? Coons and niggers and kikes and spicks and wops. Well, how about when you call someone a dog, or you say a woman is catty, or you denounce someone because they're a pig, or you see that people are there who are you think are too timid are sheep-like, or you say someone is a snake in the grass, or you call people a rat or a wolf or a leech or a hyena or a coyote, or they're timid as a rabbit, or they're as slippery as a reptile. Think about it, brothers and sisters. It's the same process. It's the way in which we distance ourselves and allow ourselves to victimize. and to set up as worthy victims those we want to exploit. And that's a mental and intellectual and emotional and psychological process that flows from victimization and exploitation. And it is rooted in cruelty and in injustice.
212-209-2950. A Vision of Hell, the Unspeakable Torment of Other Species. It's not the end of our programming on this subject, but these are the first two of what will be further programming into the process of animal thought, into what happens with animals in the entertainment industry, what it means to have companion animals, and the issue of wildlife and what that also means, the destruction of wildlife in the ecosystem. But we have here the first, the beginning of what is an important intellectual, what we think is an important intellectual contribution in the WBAI legacy. 212-209-2950. We ask you to show your appreciation for taking aim, your support of WBAI. This is your station. It's a listener-sponsored station. There are no corporate contributions. Every penny comes from you. 212-209-2950. A Vision of Hell, the Unspeakable Torment of Other Species. And Michael, at this moment on the half hour, let's thank those listeners who have called in.
Yes, indeed. Let us thank those listeners. Georgette Worth from Norwalk, Connecticut, called in, and we'll be getting Visions of Hell. And Georgette, I think you had a very interesting suggestion, sending 10 cards with 99.5 FM and a phone number so that more listeners can solicit even more listeners. A very good idea. Thank you very much for that pledge. Melissa Howell from New York. Thank you very much, Melissa. Cheryl Foster from the Bronx. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Eleanor Lee Lewis from Sheldon, 203, Connecticut, got to be Connecticut. Thank you very much, Reggie Sylvester from Brooklyn, New York. Thanks, Reg. Jim Byrons from Fresh Meadows, New York. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Two calls on the line now. Please call with your contributions. You can use Visa card, MasterCard, or American Express.
And, Michael, we have many more lines open, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Can fill
in fact,
up.
You're absolutely
right.
You're
not going to get a busy signal right now. We want you to call. You have only one half hour left. Get on the phone. Don't think that you're going to have an opportunity later. The moment is now. Seize it.
That's right. And this is the last day of fundraising here at WBAI, this winter fundraising drive. Lisa Fishman from Freeport, New York. Thank you very much. Andrew Chow from Brooklyn. Thank you, Andrew. Maurice David from Brentwood, New York. And Kirsch Meehan from Jackson Heights, New York, all called in with their pledges of support to WBAI. And we'll be getting Visions of Hell. Thank you very much. 212-209-2950.
Michael, listening to you with thank yous, it reminds me of the incredible scope of WBAI's listening range, the 90-mile radius. We have listeners from all over. Ralph?
Well, Maya, I wanted to emphasize here, as we describe the conditions that are endemic in producing food, as we call it. In fact, I think as people become acquainted with the information and allow themselves to feel and experience what it is that A Vision of Hell describes, that they will no longer look upon living creatures as an appropriate source of food any more than they would look upon their own children or family members as something on which to munch. But in the book that we have cited before, the recently published Eternal Treblinka by Charles Patterson, there is a citation from a recent slaughterhouse inspector's affidavit. And what that shows, as we've been describing with other source materials on A Vision from Hell, is that the condition of the slaughterhouse has barely altered from the time that it was described before. Quote, rats came out of the box room and ran across the floor. The inspectors shut down the line after the rats ran across their feet. At one point, the boxes should have been inspected for more rats, but the veterinarians just laughed. after they allowed the line to be turned back, and the hunting and killing of rats turned into something of a sport. Company employees told the inspectors that rats are all over the coolers at night and run on top of the meat and gnaw at it. Cockroaches, insects, and other rodents are a continuous issue. Insects have a feast, and the rodent infestation and cockroaches up to 2 inches long are prevalent. Pools of urine are on the viscera table in regular contact with the meat products. The company sprinkled the floor with poison anti-maggot solution, but the drains are so stopped up that filthy water splashes on the carcasses. Unquote. Those are the actual conditions in which the food that is in the supermarket is presented to you, brothers and sisters. The bottom line is money, greed, exploitation, cruelty, insanity, and lack of sanitation.
212-209-2950. Vision of Hell, the unspeakable torment of other species, where we discuss what it means to consume animals in terms of the destruction of the species, the deformation of the species. We not only create rapist roosters, we create psychotic hens. The chicken that you're eating has not only been de-beaked and separated from the chicks that she might have, she is also driven psychotic by the conditions in which she is kept caged, and also by the hybridization that brings you the extra large breast meat, the white meat, because people prefer white meat over dark meat, so they breed these chickens that have very large breasts. That is for the few months that a chicken is allowed to survive before it is slaughtered. The milk that happy cow that's bringing you this happy dairy cheese is not really happy. Not only are they kept in pens and separated from their calves, because after all, in order to keep a cow producing, you have to have a pregnant cow that is producing a calf so she can lactate and have extra production of milk. When that cow is no longer producing as much, which happens after 4 or 5 years, then the cow is turned out for beef. It is a rare instance that you get a farmer maintaining a cow for that cow's full life.
And the process, of course, of preparing meat and of the penning of cows, as we described it, and of the conditions in which the milk is extracted are agonizing. The psychosis of hens, psychosis that we have described in our three-part program on the conditions of prison in the United States, where people are subjected to permanent isolation, where people are prevented from having any sensory contact. That is the permanent condition in which animals are maintained, and they are driven psychotic as well, as are the human beings to whom this is done with impunity in prison after prison across the United States. And who do you think are amongst the prisoners in this country? The criminalization of poverty, brothers and sisters, means that the overwhelming mass of the prison population are Black and Latino and working class youth, victimized by a society that uses and abuses and exploits them and incarcerates and torments them. It is an extension of the torment of other species, because it is rooted in exploitation, in profiteering, and in an ideology that rationalizes this behavior and which punishes us all in the process.
And Ralph, what people don't think about is how they interact with their families, their friends, and even your companion animals. If you think about it closely, you will notice that much of this interaction is based upon domination, and this is essential for the sustenance of capitalism and the sense that you can exploit people, and and that there is a sense of superiority of one person or one species over another, and that it is inherent to continue and foster and pursue that in for the success of your well-being, i.e. profit. Vision of Hell, the unspeakable torment of other species. It is the beginning, it is the essential beginning of your understanding and your communication with your friends and your family to help them along the road of consciousness and social change. 212-209-2950. We would like to play another excerpt, and in this excerpt, we discuss the ecological ramifications of the torment, the unspeakable torment of other species.
Nearly half of the Earth's landmass is now used as pasture for cattle and other livestock. And on the very rich grasslands, it takes 2.5 acres to support a cow for a year. And on marginal grazing land, 50 or more acres may be required. Let's look at what this means in Central and South America, where right now some 40,000 square miles of the Amazon have been cleared for cattle ranching and other commercial development between 1966 and 1983. In the 1960s, it was the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank that prodded the Central and South American governments to convert millions of acres of tropical rainforest and cropland to pasture land for the international beef market.
Brazil estimates that 40% of the rainforest alone was destroyed for cattle pasture alone, and over 25% of Central American forests destroyed for beef production export to the United States. Over 70% of deforested land in Panama and Costa Rica is now pasture for beef export. The very animals whose torment in the slaughterhouse is amplified by the chemicals injected into their flesh. The result is the poisoning of people and the production of systemic disease through not just fat and cholesterol, but toxicity and the inability to expel the waste, which results in detoxification of the system, as we have described. 1/4-pound hamburger imported from Latin America requires a clearing of 55 square feet of rainforest and the destruction of 165 pounds of living matter, 20 to 30 different plant species, 100 insect species, and dozens of bird, mammal, and reptile species.
Major U.S. corporations have invested heavily in beef production throughout Central America in the 1970s and 80s. Borden, United Brands, International Foods, and the other multinationals, such as the infamous Cargill, Ralston Purina, W.R. Grace, Weyerhaeuser, Crown Zellerbach, they provide the technological support from frozen semen to refrigeration equipment, grass seeds, feed, and medicines. But this beef industry in Central America has enriched the lives of a select few. But the rural peasantry
are pauperized.
35 million people in Central America are landless or own too little land to support themselves. In Costa Rica, the cattle interests cleared 80% of the tropical forest in just 20 years, turning half the arable land into cattle pastures so you can have your McDonald's hamburger. 2,000 powerful ranching families own over half the productive land in Costa Rica, raising 2 million cattle, most of whose meat is exported to the United States. Guatemala, less than 3% of the population owns 70% of the agricultural land, and again, much of it is used for raising cattle for export. 1/3 of Guatemala's beef production was exported to the United States and the rest elsewhere. In Honduras, the situation is similar. Nicaragua. So we have here throughout Central America. Let's go back to Brazil. 4.5% of the landowners own 81% of the farmland, while 70% of rural households are landless. Ralph?
To feed these tormented 1.3 billion cattle, they are stripping vegetation, compacting and eroding soil, creating deserts out of grasslands, The average cow is given 900 pounds of vegetation a month, more than 60% of the world's rangelands damaged by this overgrazing in a half century, three-quarters of America's public western land, 40% of the 11 western states leased to cattlemen at subsidized prices below market value, one-third of the topsoil lost in the United States, 7 billion tons of eroded soil attributable to these unsustainable methods of producing feed crops for cattle, 85% of the rangeland, 685 million acres degraded by overgrazing, half the total amount of water used annually in the United States to feed the cattle and livestock who are in conditions that we have described in our previous show. And the overall impact, not only in Latin America but throughout the world, is devastating to the populations of the planet, because sustainable agriculture has been eliminated and commodity production has been substituted, the classical colonial model. Tea and coffee and cocoa and sisal, which cannot be consumed, are substituted for food production. And the great food conglomerates such as Cargill and Archer Daniels Midlands then impose the supply of exported foods at exorbitant prices through capitalist middlemen in each of the respective countries. The addiction to carrion or dead flesh or meat is associated at its heart with the conglomerates of capitalist exploitation. Not just the huge food conglomerates, not just the Pentagon and the defense industry, not just the animal experimenters and the corrupted universities and their pseudoscientists, but a systemic rape of the land, poisoning of the population, and torment for all of the species that is the inexorable concomitant of this economic, social, psychological, and brutal system of rapine, exploitation, and cruelty. What goes around comes around, brothers and sisters. The torment that we inflict on other species is a torment that is visited upon our own. And every aspect of the cruelty that is required is, again, an aspect of the torment that systemic disease requires, that the wars to sustain profits inflict, that the weapon industry is designed to sustain. It is a package. It is a seamless continuity. It is a system of rule. And the torment of other animals is linked inexorably to the capitalist exploitation of our own species.
You've been listening to A Vision of Hell, The Unspeakable Torment of Other Species. This is an excerpt from the second CD. It's a 2-CD set. For your generous contribution of $100 to WBAI, 212-209-2950. We have only a few minutes left. This is your last opportunity, because we want to close the show with a small excerpt from the first CD, which encapsulates the ideas of A Vision of Hell. Please get on the phone now, 212-209-2950. I encourage you. As you know, each and every week we bring you Taking Aim. We spend a lot of time researching information. We appreciate all those of you who have sent us information. And we try to come up with cutting-edge programming. Our cutting-edge programming is not temporary. These are programs that you can listen to 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's like a good book on your shelf. These are good CDs, good programs for you to have and to share with everyone you know. 212-209-2950. This is not coffee from a cafe. This is information. This is power. And please empower yourself by dialing 212-209-2950. Ralph?
Yes, Maya. The relationship between the exploitation of other species and our own is the theme of A Vision of Hell. In the book that I've mentioned before by Charles Patterson, he cites how in Mesopotamia, warfare between rival city-states ended with the mass slaughter of male captives and the enslavement of women and children. not only were the female slaves used as workers, but they were then valuable to produce more slaves. And the young girls stayed with their mothers in female work groups, and the boys were castrated like oxen and assigned to slave labor camps. What's instructive about this is that not only did the city-states kill their male captives or castrate them and blind them and put them to work as slaves, but they visited this treatment upon them much as they had done with their domestic animals. The Sumerians castrated the males and put them to work like their domestic animals, and put the females to work in breeding camps like their domestic animals. In fact, the word in Sumerian for castrated slave boys is the same word the Sumerians used for castrated donkeys, horses, and oxen. And in that citation, Patterson makes it very clear to us, as we've been articulating in A Vision of Hell, that the exploitation and the brutalization of other living creatures is integrally linked to that treatment of our own species. Because exploitation requires depersonalization, distancing ourselves emotionally and psychically from our victims, and that is what allows us to perform these acts and to deaden ourselves to their emotional meaning. So we cannot continue with this artificial line of demarcation between what we do to ourselves and what we do to other living things. It's all about empowering ourselves with understanding so that we can root out the social conditions that allow these actions to perpetuate themselves from generation to generation. And ultimately, when we really look at the condition of this society in which we live today, with its degeneration and decomposition, with its brutalization, with its elimination of the liberties that we had struggled for over generations, with the starvation and the disease and the violence and the brutal subjugation of others, we see that it is a seamless reality that we must confront. And that, indeed, is the burden of this programming, and we are profoundly convinced it is the primary mission of the free speech radio system itself, to be able to break this reality forth, to tear the mask of cruelty away so it's seen for what it is, so we can respond appropriately, organize ourselves, feel empowered in the process.
212-209-2950. I want you to get to your phone. If you have a portable phone, bring it with you towards the radio. Everyone on the phone, 212-209-2950. And we're going to play this brief excerpt. I was so impressed with it when I heard it. I said, I got to have you listen to it again from the first CD, Ralph's Commentary. And then we'll be back for our last words. 212-209-2950.
Every time you order a hamburger or a cheeseburger, you are contributing to the horrors below, as the report states. They quote Ralph Waldo Emerson, quote, "You have just dined, and however scrupulously the slaughterhouse is concealed in the graceful distance of miles, you are involved, and there is complicity." A USDA employee contacted the Humane Farming Association and gave them a detailed account. Animals at the plant had their heads skinned while fully conscious. Investigations confirmed that not only were these reports accurate, but the animals were routinely dragged, strangled, beaten, scalded, and dismembered alive. The reason these things are happening is factory farming. Since the post-war in this country, post-Second World War, the family farm has been replaced by huge operations run by major corporations. The biggest move has been in slaughterhouses that kill at a rate of 1,100 animals per hour. One worker is required to kill an animal every 3 seconds, and slowdowns in the assembly line are not tolerated.
But Ralph, whether it's on a factory farm or a family farm, the slaughter is slaughter of these living, thinking, feeling creatures.
Without any question, Maya, and indeed, as you say, whether it's with an axe, with a knife to the carotid artery, the death and the agony is real. But the systematic assembly line, factory-like, massive, butchery of animals in their hundreds of millions, indeed in their billions, with torment as the defining feature, analogous to the Auschwitzes and the Birkenaus and the Maidenecks, is the feature of capitalist industrial production of so-called food. Slow down in the assembly line is not tolerated. The animals are not able to reach unconsciousness. Rarely does the equipment work properly, the report continues. Workers pound away at cows' heads to beat them unconscious, and they repeatedly shock pigs. To avoid slowdowns, the animals are shackled, hoisted, skinned, dismembered while alive. The investigations reveal the downed animals, those too weak to move, are beaten with lead pipes and dragged and strangled to the kill area with cables. Saws, blowtorches are used on the live animals. Their legs are caught in chutes and trucks. The workers routinely skin their heads, bellies, sides, rumps. They remove their legs, their ears, their horns, their tails. They begin eviscerating the cattle while they are alive, the report continues. Animals with their legs caught in holding pens are dragged with hooks, and you hear the bones breaking. And these statistics do not include the chickens, who are exempt from any nominal coverage by any animal act. They are regularly starved. Their heads and legs are cut off without anesthesia. They are immersed in scalding tanks while alive. The pigs are immersed in scalding tanks to loosen their bristles over 140 degrees. They are transported on the backs of trucks at sub-freezing temperatures. The animals on the rails of the trucks routinely freeze to the sides of their trunks. The workers use chains to rip them off, leaving chunks of their flesh stuck to the truck. To keep the line moving, workers jab meat hooks into their mouths and anuses and drag them. They run them over with tractors. They cut their noses and eyes out of live pigs. The environmental impact is overwhelming. 1 pound of meat requires 2,500 gallons of water. A large chicken factory goes through 100 million gallons of water a day. The number of animals in the U.S. raised for food produce 68,000 pounds of manure per second, 130 times as much fecal matter as the entire human population, and the report goes on.
In fact, Ralph, 14,000 chickens are slaughtered every minute in the United States and 90,000 cows and calves every 24 hours.
We want to thank all of you who contributed today. A Vision of Hell, the Unspeakable Torment of Other Species. Keep your calls coming. 212-209-2950. Your $100 contribution to WBAI. Ralph?
I think it's appropriate to cite the quotation from Raphael Eitan about the Palestinian people. When we have finished with them, all they will be able to do is scurry around like drugged roaches in a bottle, he said before the Knesset. And in the book, The Hidden History of Zionism, we end by saying, by paraphrasing poet Dylan Thomas, we are alone and not alone in the unknown world. Our bliss and suffering, forever shared, and forever all our own. It applies to all of us, brothers and sisters. Sustain the program.
You are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM. This has been a special edition of Taking Aim with Maya Schoen and Ralph.